pleased to be welcomed by Chris Peters from CBS Sports. Chris, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Not as good as Mark Scheifele. He's now $49 million richer. Is this a good move for the Jets to lock up Scheifele for 8 years?
Well, sure, yeah. I mean, I think so. You know, he certainly had a breakout season last year. He was one of the more dominant scoring forwards of the entire second half last season, which, you know, is a good indication of where things are going. I mean, the best part about that for the Jets is that he did that on his entry-level contract. Yeah. So, I mean, talk about huge value. And he's progressed each of the 3 years he's kind of been in the league. And so I think that they have, when you're a franchise like the Jets, and we've seen, you know, they've sometimes had either trouble keeping guys or attracting free agents, you have to build from within. And obviously having your first-round draft pick after relocation, he's such an important piece of the puzzle. And he's worked out really well. You know, it took him a little while to get going, and you know, we're starting to wonder, is he going to come around? But we always forget that it sometimes takes guys a few years to really get their NHL legs under them, and I think we saw that last season. And obviously he's going to be a huge part of that team, and they also, I believe, eat up 4 years of unrestricted free agency with that contract. So certainly a worthwhile deal for both sides.
Now that Mark Scheifele is locked up, do you expect GM of the Jets, Kevin Cheveldayoff, to work out a deal with Jacob Trouba? Do you expect maybe still a move to be made on the Jets blue line?
Well, that's going to be interesting, because I think that, you know, you're paying big money to Scheifele and to Bufflin, and this is a team that, you know, are they going to spend all the way to the cap? You know, those are the things you have to start considering as some of their younger players come of age and go for these contracts. I think in Trouba's case, you know, he certainly is a guy that you want to try and hang on to. You know, everybody's looking for young defensemen, so there's certainly an opportunity to get some value in a trade. But that's a guy where I think, you know, you got to look at him as a potential cornerstone player, much like Scheifele and Bufflin, who's older now. But, you know, those are the guys that you kind of want to try and start building around. So I think that they will be able to get a deal done with him. But if they don't, they have to just make sure that there's a extreme value coming back the other way in a trade, because those are the type of defensemen that just don't come around every day. And when you draft them in a kid like Trouba, who kind of fell in the draft a little bit, you know, if we redid that draft, how much higher would he have gone, even though he was still a top 10 pick? He's been one of the best players in that draft class. So I think he's a guy certainly you want to keep around for a long time.
Chris Peters from CBS Sports joining us. There was a trade earlier today in the NHL's. The Maple Leafs have traded Jonathan Bernier to Anaheim, going the other way. Is a draft pick in 2017. Obviously, in Canada, the Leafs are covered. I guess they get their fair share of coverage on all networks, but they drafted Auston Matthews first overall. This is kind of a new Leafs over the last, I guess, year and a half or so. What have you made of the work that Brendan Shanahan, Lou Lamoriello, and company have done since inheriting this team?
Yeah, well, they're certainly putting their own stamp on things. I mean, they've cut ties with a lot of the players that were big parts of the former regime, and you know, that's probably a good thing. They need a more of a clean slate, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think in Bernier's case in particular, that just wasn't going to work out, even if it was one more year. He did not have a good season last year, had the injuries that he had to deal with, you know, never really endeared himself much to Mike Babcock. So it's not surprising to see him go, especially, you know, bringing in Frederik Andersen. It would have been so much to commit to their goaltending position. And now they're able to get out from under that contract and create a little space for themselves to maybe add some depth and, you know, probably go cheaper on the backup goaltender. And so that's a good thing for them. But yeah, I mean, overall, I think the most important things that have happened in the more recent years is, you know, getting Mitch Marner, getting Auston Matthews in the draft, guys that are going to be big time players for them. And making the trades that they've had to make to improve the team. You know, I still think they probably could have done better with the Phil Kessel trade than they did. I thought that at the time, so it's not really a hindsight situation, but, you know, they still got something out of that deal. And yeah, I mean, I think they're still going to be a few years away, though. I mean, this is going to require some patience. They're going to have to put those younger guys in positions where the team's not going to be so good, and you have to make sure that you kind of try to maintain a culture where winning or losing isn't necessarily acceptable, but one where it's, you know, you can learn from it. And I think that they probably have the right situation in terms of a balance of veteran players and younger guys, and then obviously it's going to be up to Mike Babcock to really continue to reiterate that message, which I think we saw last season, even though they were so bad.
Chris, I always like getting people's thoughts who aren't in this Edmonton market on moves the Edmonton Oilers have done. They've been very busy over the last 10 days or so. Let's go back to the trade that really rocked the city of Edmonton. Taylor Hall for Adam Larson. From someone on the outside, what did you make of Peter Chiarelli pulling the trigger on this deal?
Yeah, I'm one of the many that don't understand it, really. I mean, I know why. I guess I understand the motive. I don't necessarily agree with them. I guess it's probably the way that I see. I mean, obviously the blue line needs help in a bad way. I'm wondering how Adam Larson is going to fare in a situation where he's kind of in a position to be one of the most important defensemen on a team, which was true in New Jersey, but he was insulated a little bit more by some of the veteran guys. You know, Andy Green is such an underrated defenseman, a guy that can help you cover up a lot of mistakes with his experience and his ability. And so that's something where you lose that. And I wonder how that's going to translate. You know, we saw there was so much asked of Justin Schultz. I mean, and he came into a situation where he really wasn't insulated enough and didn't have the help to maybe be guided along. And maybe he was never going to be that guy anyway. But at the same time, you know, you can't survive on an island like that. So I'm concerned about that. You know, I think going from Taylor Hall to Milan Lucic and the corollary deal, you know, the corresponding deal of signing him is a bit of a lateral move in the long term. I still think Lucic will be helpful. He'll be good. I think he's going to be able to put up points and do things like that. But it's been a strange couple of weeks, and I just wonder, you know, to me, Taylor Hall was a foundation piece, a building block that you just continue to build around. But I mean, I think you guys probably know in that market better some of the ins and outs, and maybe there's more to the story than we know. But it was not one of those things that I thought was terribly helpful for them.
From the outside right now, you mentioned they brought in Milan Lucic. They brought in a backup goalie. So they've made a couple minor tweaks. Right now on paper, if they stay healthy, are they better now than before they made the Hall trade?
Marginally so, I think, really. I mean, you know, I don't think there's a massive improvement there. I don't think that the drop-off this season will be terribly dramatic in terms of production out of Lucic and Hall. I mean, it'll be interesting. I'm sure Hall probably would have had a few more points, but I don't know if it would have been so dramatic where you're really kicking yourself after that. But, you know, the blue line should be a little bit better as well. Again, I think it will take a little time to see, you know, how Adam Larson fits. Can he be, you know, number one, number two, number three, you know, where does he fit in? What is his long-term projection? Certainly when he came into the league, when he was drafted, he looked like potential, you know, number one, number two. And we're just kind of, he's been more gradual in his progression since he's been in the league. So that'll be interesting to kind of watch. But I don't see them as a whole lot better. I don't think that the backup goaltending position got any better. And that's going to be an issue. So, you know, as we've seen, you need to have, you have experience back there, which is good, but is it going to be all that helpful? So, yeah, I think it's a marginal improvement just because of what's been done on the defense and then not a huge drop-off with Lucic coming in, at least at this stage of the contract. So it'll be interesting to watch, that's for sure.
Chris, as soon as we had you on, the signing started coming fast and furious. It's just breaking now. Nathan MacKinnon signed a 7-year contract with the Colorado Avalanche. It looks like his average cap hit is going to be $6.3 million. Your thoughts on Nathan MacKinnon 7 more years in Denver?
Wow, yeah, that's to me a great deal for Colorado, and I think Nathan MacKinnon will exceed the value of that contract by the time it's up. Just a phenomenal player to watch, a guy that you know, he's just so exciting, and I think that he brings an element to that team that you know every team can use. You have that explosive speed, the scoring ability is there, and I think he's a kid that, you know, he doesn't need a lot of help. He can do a lot of things himself. He can be a guy that can, you know, lead a line. He can do just pretty much everything. He's not afraid to mix it up. He goes in the corners. There's some toughness there. Just a phenomenal young player. And to have, you know, that kind of contract for 7 years, I mean, that is a pretty impressive haul for him. But also I think the team is going to save some money in the long run and get in as he exceeds the value of that contract, because I think we've just seen him get better and better. Coming into the league as a just a fantastic rookie and only getting better as the years go on. He's obviously a guy that Colorado can continue to build around. And with a contract like that, it makes it a little easier to build because you can get more bang for your buck. And this best team tends not to spend to the salary cap. So, you know, if they can figure out what's going on with Tyson Berry and see if they can get some improvement on the defense. You know, that's a group that you can truly start progressing with, especially with McKinnon and Duchesne up front.
Just a couple more quick ones for you, Chris. I appreciate you joining us this afternoon. The NHL free agency has been going now for 8 days. What is the one individual contract that now that you've had some time to digest that you still take a step back and say, that guy is either signed for way too long or for way too much money? Is there one contract that really sticks out to you?
The one that sticks out to me is David Backes in Boston. And I'm a Backes fan. You know, I think the way that he plays the game, I enjoy watching him play. I think he's been a fantastic captain. He certainly has that little mix of agitation, toughness, and then obviously the offense as well. But to go 6 years, $6 million per, that's a big commitment to a guy that's already 32. He's heading into a situation where he's going to be relied on pretty similarly. I feel like Boston needed to get better in the scoring department. I would have rather spent that money on Louis Erickson. I think that he showed last season that he can be a top performer for them and is, I believe, a year younger. So, to have a guy where you've got more proven scoring ability, and Backes is coming off a year where his scoring was down, it's just a big commitment. You know, I think he would have gotten that money somewhere no matter what. I don't think that he's getting it at the right place. I don't think that was the money best spent for Boston. I think that in terms of term and money, that was one that they overextended themselves on.
And last one for you, Chris, not in the NHL, but in the KHL, Pavel Datsyuk is now the newest star in the Continental Hockey League. How bizarre does it look to see Datsyuk holding his name and number, but not on a traditional red and white jersey that we've been used to seeing the last 10 or so years?
Yeah, I guess we've all been bracing ourselves for that moment. And, he's one of those guys that, to me, is beloved by pretty much everybody. He does everything so well. He plays the game at such a high level. And even though his production was down last year, you still see that he's extremely effective and would have been a key player for the Red Wings next season had he decided to stick around for the last year of that contract. It's very strange not to see him in a Red Wings jersey. It was strange to see, even though it was just his cap hit, him being traded to the Arizona Coyotes at the draft and just everything that kind of went with that. And I'm certainly one of those people. I lived in Michigan for a few years, had a chance to see a lot of Red Wings games, and that was always a joy to watch him play. And I'm looking forward to the YouTube clips that will come out of the KHL. I'm sure there will be many, but it's just not going to be the same with him not tearing up the NHL and just being one of those guys that you love to watch anytime he's on or if you're at the arena. So, yeah, that's a tough one to swallow, I think, for NHL fans everywhere, because he's just one of those guys that everybody seems to love.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot of getting used to. Chris, I appreciate you taking some time this afternoon. Thanks for this, and enjoy your weekend.
All right, you too. Thanks for having me.
Chris Peters from CBS.